Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Kate. Super reading. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are able to give us hope and strength and courage. You are able to help us listen to your word and respond rightly. So we ask for you to do that. Please help all of us, from trekkers upwards, to be able to learn from your word this morning. Amen. Right, here's my one big thing to say. Christmas is for doubters and Christmas is for sinners. Christmas is for doubters and Christmas is for sinners. Most of us start off in the first category, doubters, and we find ourselves back there from time to time, doubting whether it's all true. Christmas is for you. All of us are in the second category, sinners. Christmas is for you. Perhaps you find yourself in both categories this morning. Someone who doubts and wonders whether it can possibly be true, and if Christians are really just blind and foolish for believing something so fantastic and impossible. And you're someone who sins. That is, you're aware not only that you're not perfect — you say that out loud, but no one's perfect — but you know there are things you say and think and do that you know you have chosen to do and that they are wrong before God. That's a sinner. That's me. As much as you try and throw away the idea that there is a God who sees everything and who's given us good moral boundaries to live our lives by, you can't. The thoughts come back when you watch the news and something awful has happened. The only category for what you see is evil. That's evil that somebody's done that people have done that to one another. Even the presenters, who you don't think have any faith in God, are using the term evil when that shooting happened or the attack happened. It's evil, and you agree. But for there to be evil, there has to be a moral ruler who gives good rules and by whom you can know what is right and wrong. That can never be a human person or organization, because we are so messed up. We will always set rules to suit ourselves. No, the only possible grounds for there being real evil in the world is that there must be a real God above it all. And once I see something on the telly that's evil, or perhaps even experience evil being done to me — somebody's bullying me, or there's injustice or cruelty or abuse or betrayal or lying or stealing or cheating — then I can't think about my own words and actions and imagine that I'm not caught by the same moral code. No, I'm a sinner too. I hate it. I can't ignore it. No matter how much I try, God exists, and I can't live as though sinning doesn't matter. But what do I do about it? Feel guilty that I just can't seem to stop? I'm a sinner. What do I do? What do I do if I'm a doubter? What do I do if I'm both a sinner and a doubter? Well, you could come back to the Christmas story, even just this one part of it that Kate read to us this morning, Joseph's story, and see what it says to your doubts and to your sins. Matthew 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Messiah means God's long-promised king. Mary was engaged to Joseph. Hands up if you've ever been engaged. There's quite a few of us. Engagement was similar back then to what it is now. Engaged couples, they're not yet married. There would be a length of time when they knew they were going to get married, but they hadn't made their public promises yet. Lucy and I were engaged for 9 months. Who was engaged for longer than that? How many? Year and a half, 18 months. Anyone beat that? 2.5 years waiting while engaged. I was a soldier in Bosnia while we were engaged for a lot of it, miles apart. So engagement, similar but different too. Engaged couples back then would not be living together or sleeping together. All too many engagements are not like that these days. Some are, and it's the way God intended it to be. Only once publicly married would a couple start living together and in time enjoy the gift of children. But they were different in another way too. Back then, engagements were binding. To break an engagement, you needed a divorce. Nowadays, an engaged couple can say to each other, it's not working, we shouldn't get married, and just call it off just like that. Wouldn't need a divorce. Back then, you would need a divorce. Two people looking forward to marrying and living together, the whole community knowing that the wedding day was coming, everyone getting prepared, and then suddenly they're getting divorced. Oh, lots of questions. Why? Who's to blame? Shame? Disgrace? Nobody wanted that. Verse 19, awfully, sadly, tragically, Joseph decided he had to divorce Mary. Why? Well, at the end of verse 18, Mary was found to be pregnant. And Joseph knew it was not his baby. Mary must have got together with someone else. The person that Joseph had hoped would be his wife, whom he'd promised to and was engaged to and surely loved, was deeply broken because their agreement had become a divorce. How horrible, how devastating. He's going to divorce her. Isn't it interesting that Jesus' birth was in the midst of one of the most painful experiences that human beings can go through? The sense of being betrayed by someone you thought you could trust. If that's happened to you, take heart that God made the Christmas story, out of which comes the greatest news the world has ever heard, come from the experience of being betrayed right at the start. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't say who else knew. It doesn't say how Joseph found out. Was Mary showing a bump when he found out? Perhaps Mary told him straight away and he refused to believe it. She's come up with this amazing story about an angel visiting her one night, telling her she's going to have a baby. Honestly, I can't believe it. There was Joseph, the heartbroken doubter. Who'd blame him? Never in the history of human beings has a baby been conceived without another man. But that's what Mary was telling him. The baby is from the Holy Spirit, Joseph. No way. I can't believe it. Virgin births, a baby by the Holy Spirit, impossible. If we'd been there, we'd have doubted it too. Skepticism in the face of the Christmas story was right there in the first paragraphs of Matthew's gospel. To doubt the story was perfectly understandable. There was Joseph doubting it. He needed help to believe, and God gave it to him through his word. Verse 20, but after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Who remembers their dreams? I very rarely remember my dreams. Sometimes I wake up thinking, oh, I wish whatever it was had gone on a bit longer. But I can't remember what it was. I just know it was good. Anyway, Joseph's dream was as clear as daylight. When he woke up, he was convinced what he'd heard, astonishing as it seemed, was a word from God. That thing you doubted, Joseph, that thing you thought was impossible, the thing Mary told you is no lie. It's all true. The baby she is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. He's been conceived supernaturally. He's from God. And I bet the thoughts were bouncing back and forwards in Joseph's mind. How can this be? It's never happened before. God's told me it's true. What will people say? Mary's still pregnant. We're not yet married. The bump will be showing soon. They'll all think we've jumped the gun. You may have some explaining to do. Few people will believe you, but you'll be okay. I've got this. But will we be able to have children of our own? No answer. As it happens, Jesus would have a number of natural brothers born normally to Joseph and Mary. But this baby boy's extraordinary start had never happened before, and God has given no indication he's ever going to do it again. Your son, Joseph, son of David, is going to be the only one like him. He is from the Holy Spirit. But there's no manual for this. What am I supposed to do? Be the surrogate dad to the Son of God? How? I haven't even had a chance to learn how to be a normal dad yet. This is crazy. That's probably what he was thinking. Loads of doubts still in his mind. He must have been a bag of fear and hope and doubt and trust, like any of us faced with the Christmas story. But the angel had more to say. Perhaps this is what tipped Joseph over from doubt to faith. Listen in. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph is like any one of us. He'll have been acutely conscious of his own sin. He's living in God's world his own way, his words saying things that hurt others. Not always meaning to, but see the sad look on someone's face when something comes out of his mouth that he didn't mean to say, and realizing he's done it again. He's hurt someone. He's sinned. His actions, not always meaning to, but hardly ever being kind. Then there's a selfish act, unkindness, proud thoughts, disobedience, things that he's done. Sometimes a good friend has said to him, Joseph, that was unkind. And he's gone, sorry, I've done it again. Other times he's completely unaware of the harm he's done. And he wonders why people start to give him a wide berth and refuse to be friends with him. Sin again. At his best, he does realize he's sinful. And occasionally he steals himself to find the person he's hurt, go and say sorry, and ask for their forgiveness. And wonderfully, sometimes he's forgiven and the friendship is restored. But he knows he's a sinner. After all, he's a son of David. And he finds it much easier to hide and to cover up and to see how much he can get away with. Remember that from 2 Samuel? That's what David did. And now here's talk of a savior from sins. Could this be the answer to man's greatest problem? A savior who can turn away God's righteous anger and protect us from it by taking it himself. And at the same time, keep God's character of holy and just and fair perfectly intact. Jesus, it's what his name means. God saves. Only with Jesus, it's not just a name, it's his job description. And it's not given because his mum and dad thought it would be a nice name. It's his name because God gave it to him and commissioned him to do it. What the world needs is a saviour from sin. Jesus is that saviour, Joseph. He has a miraculous birth by the Holy Spirit. He has to be unlike every other human being who's ever been born, so he has to be supernatural. But he has to be born a human so that he can take the punishment we deserve. It has to be a natural birth. Joseph wasn't given all that information. He couldn't look back like we can on the life of Jesus, the things he'd say, the things he'd do, and the death he would die and see it was all part of the plan. But he could look back and see the prophecy made in Isaiah 700 years before. The angel told it to him, or no, Matthew records it. There it is, verse 14. I haven't got that right. All this took place, verse 22, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. We know who, which prophet, which one? Isaiah. The virgin will conceive, will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Perhaps as Joseph's mind was racing, as he woke up from this dream, as he was making his morning coffee, listening to the angel's words, the baby conceived in Mary's from God, the name I've got to give the baby is Jesus because he'll save his people, and that prophecy from Isaiah, it's coming true. And he would reach the conclusion that all of us are being asked to reach. Will you welcome this baby as the Son of God, your Saviour? Verse 24. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. They would get married. She would have the baby. And he gave him the name, Jesus. So that baby, last minute now, that baby born that first Christmas was very ordinary. He was born to a working class couple in a small village in the country. And yet he was also extraordinary. God come in human flesh. Emmanuel, God with us and with his people. Named God saves and with the greatest task to achieve, the world needs this task done most. Okay, you'll have doubts. Joseph did. This story is hard to believe, but it's not impossible with God. There is evidence. Hundreds of millions of people have faced doubt that God could have acted in this way in this world. And they've overcome those doubts, and they are believers today all around the world. They have welcomed the child as Joseph did and trusted in the rescue he has provided. They know the forgiveness of sins and the fresh start whenever they fail. There's nothing the world can offer that can cleanse a conscience, grant us hope, and secure an eternal future the way welcoming Jesus into your life can. So do you want a cleansed conscience, hope for the future, and an eternity ahead of you with God? Do you want those things? Welcome Jesus into your life. Joseph had to welcome a baby that was not his into his life. He was enabled by the word of God and hope in this Saviour. We're to hope. We are to hope like he did. God come to be with us by faith. We're enabled to do that by the word of God and by the Spirit. If Joseph could turn and believe, if his doubts could be turned into faith, then so can ours. We can have confidence to hold out this faith to others as well. Don't be shy about it. Share this good news with people. Tell them. It has foundations. It was promised. It's from God. Let's not be ashamed of the wonder of it. God has achieved it. Our task is to believe it and share it. Okay, so who's Christmas for? Doubters. And sinners. Great news. Admit that you are a sinner and that you have doubts and welcome Jesus this Christmas. Admit you are a sinner and that God has come to save you. Let me pray for us. We praise you, Heavenly Father, as we consider the very, very familiar story again and are amazed at the wonder of it, that you've done something so astonishing and unique and wonderful and for us. We praise you that Joseph had his doubts addressed and he was told his son would be the savior from sin. May we have our doubts addressed. May we welcome Jesus into our lives as our Savior. Amen. I'd love you to be thinking of things you could say to encourage others or questions you might have to ask others. And we'll come back to those in a moment. I can't remember. Where's Liz? What's next? Questions straight away. Okay, we'll do that straight away. Questions or things to encourage others. Hands up, speak up loudly. I'll repeat them to the screen and to those in the Zoom rooms. Anybody got some encouragements or something to say? Or something to ask? Ezra, have you got one? Nice and loud then. Okay, why did Joseph believe the angel in the dream when it could just have been any old dream? Good question. I think God the Holy Spirit enabled him to believe. I think this dream was unlike any other dream he'd ever had. I think he was seeing and hearing God's word more vividly than he ever had when he was awake. And when he woke up, he realized that something incredible had happened, but he was going to believe it. I think it was a miracle. So it's a great question, and I'm not encouraging you to believe all your dreams the same way. Good question. Anyone else? Okay, that's a very good question. Asked by a young miser Stedman, why couldn't God just make Jesus appear? Because he's so powerful. The answer is, he could have done, but he chose not to. He chose to do it in this special way, so that our Savior would be fully human and fully God, so that he could be like us and feel like us and go through things just like us, but he could be perfect, which none of us are like. And because he was both of those things, he was able to be our Savior. I'd never have come up with a plan like that. That is the most brilliant plan that only God can come up with. Verse 22, I'm not convinced that is the angel speaking at that point. That could be Matthew commentating. But Lucy's point was, she's very encouraged that the angel, if it was him, or Matthew at this point, points the readers back to Isaiah rather than what I might want. I'd like an angelic confidence booster, please, every night. Wouldn't that be great if our assurance was lacking? You get an angel dream to convince you it's all true. Actually, what we're doing today is looking back to the Word of God, which was what convinced Joseph. The Word of God, through the messenger of God, the angel, convinced him. And wonderfully, Matthew says, you could have known it without the angel because it's there in Isaiah. So if you know your Bible, you will grow in confidence and assurance. How's that? Thank you, Lucy. There is one on Zoom, all right? Toby, nice and loud. Why did the angel appear in person to Mary, but only in a dream to Joseph? Okay, that is a question that I can quite happily say, I don't know. I've got no answer to that one. You'll have to ask God when you see him face to face. Don't know. Sorry about that. All right, we should stop. Thank you very much for all your questions. What a great story. Please take heart. Christmas is for doubters and Christmas is for sinners. Okay.